Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We're coming to the close. We've been in the book of Philippians for the past few months. What a great little book. My regret was that I only preached one message out of chapter 1. Because all the other chapters have been two or three or four messages out of them. There's so much there, and I wish I would have slowed down when I went through chapter 1, because there's lots there. We just did kind of an overview of that one. This is our fourth message. I've got on the top of my page, Philippians 4, part 4. The fourth message out of chapter 4. We're going to read from chapter verse 10 down to the end of the chapter. So if you would follow along with me, Philippians 4, starting in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As this morning, as we a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the topic of contentment before Easter, and that is one of the major themes of this passage, of these verses that we just read. The other would be on giving. And of course, the two are tied together because they both deal with our finances. Giving with the outflow, and contentment with what we have, what we've got left. And are we satisfied with that? So the two really are connected, giving and contentment. And we looked at contentment, as I said before. So this morning we're going to look on the subject of giving. It's interesting, sometimes as you prepare a message, and I probably shouldn't do this, but sometimes you prepare a message, you've got certain people in mind. Or you've got a certain, there's folks that maybe need to understand some principles on giving. You know, you think of, in general, that. And this morning, I think all of you understand giving. You know, and I think you've got, so maybe, but the Lord knew who was going to be here. And so we'll just think, I want to encourage you with some principles that God's Word teaches about giving. And just a reminder of it, to remind you of these things, what God's Word says this morning. The book of Philippians, as you know, is basically a thank you letter. And of course, it has a whole lot of other instruction in it about the Christian life. But it's, a lot of it is a thank you letter to the church at Philippi for a gift that they had sent to the Apostle Paul, carried to them by Epaphroditus, one of their faithful men in the church. And that's what Paul gets to here in this passage. He says, I have all and I abound, having received the gift from Epaphroditus that was sent from you. But then he gives within this some principles about giving that we can see. Now, I've got seven different things, and I'm not sure if we'll get through them all today. We'll just see how the Lord leads. But the first one is the principle of honor. The principle of honor. Look with me at verse 14. Paul says to them, notwithstanding, ye have well done. You have well done. The Philippian church had well done, or done well, in giving towards Paul's ministry. They had done well in Paul's view, but even more importantly, they had done well in God's view. In God's view, they had done well. Look in verse 18. The Bible says that he had received those things. And at the end of the verse, it says, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. God was pleased with their giving. So we first of all see this principle of honor. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple things from there, and then we're going to come back to Philippians. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a great passage of Scripture. This is a key chapter in the Bible dealing with our conduct, and I think it hinges on verses 5 and 6, which are very well-known verses. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We see here this first thought, and look at verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. The principle of honor, honoring the Lord with your substance, of course, means giving. You're giving, honoring God in that. Some might say, well, this verse doesn't apply to us because it's in the Old Testament. Okay, then how about this verse from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I guess that doesn't apply to us because in the Old Testament. Proverbs, I'm just being funny. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I guess that doesn't apply to us either. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and it is safe. Proverbs 18, verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I guess that doesn't apply to us either because it's in the Old Testament. Proverbs 18, verse 24, he that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I guess that doesn't apply to us either. That's in the Old Testament. Of course it applies to us, right? These are timeless truths from God's word. Now we understand there are things in the Old Testament that are specifically for written to the Jew. We understand that. We don't follow the dietary laws, and we don't offer sacrifices anymore because Jesus came and offered the final sacrifice for sin. We understand that. But these things in the Old Testament, they do apply to us. Tithing was something that was practiced before the law came into effect. Abraham paid tithes. You can read that in the book of Genesis. Jacob promised God that he would give him the tithe, and they lived hundreds of years before the law. In the New Testament, much of the teaching on giving in those in different passages goes back and uses Old Testament examples. And so we need to honor the Lord. The tithe, of course, is 10%. So we ought to be honoring God with at least 10% of our income going to him. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor him with your substance. To honor means to revere, to respect, to treat with reverence and submission, to give weight to. That's what literally, to give weight to. In other words, I give weight to what God says. I give weight to it. If you honor your parents as a young person, then you give weight to what they say. There's a verse in, and we won't turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, you can look it up another time. It talks about the people casting God's law behind their backs. In other words, it was just like they threw it over their shoulder and ignored it. They didn't honor it. They didn't give any weight to it. They didn't listen to what it said and heed it. They just cast it behind their backs. Go with me in your Bibles to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 1. God brings up this very point with his people in the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And then he goes on and talks about their offering, and the offering polluted bread, and lame, blind and halt, and lame sacrifices. But go with me to Malachi chapter 3, because the same theme runs throughout the book. Malachi chapter 3, and we know the passage starting in verse 8. So giving God honor, God asks the people of Israel, where is mine honor? If I be a father, where's my honor? Now Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Honor the Lord with your substance. That's what God commands, and we're robbing God if we're not giving of our substance. We're not honoring him. You might say, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. So we need to begin honoring God with our finances. That's such an important truth in God's word, isn't it? To honor God. Sometimes we fail to be conscious of the Lord in our lives. You know, we can forget as people that he's right there. He's always present. He knows everything we say and think and do. And it's and I don't want to encourage you and challenge myself as well to be conscious of that and to think about honoring the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with your church attendance. Honor the Lord with your service for him. Honor the Lord with your prayers. Honor the Lord with your Bible reading. Honor the Lord in how you talk and how you treat others. Honor the Lord with your heart. Honor God. Honor him in all areas. Give weight to him, reverence and submission to him. Let's honor him. So that's the first principle. And in this passage, there's a great promise. We'll get to that a little bit later on. So the first thing is the principle of honor. Secondly is the principle of trust. And if you look with me at Proverbs chapter 3, as I said, I think this chapter hinges on these verses here, verses 5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord. We all know it. We probably could all quote it and say it together. Let's do that, shall we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. I think sometimes some people say, well, if I give money in the offering plate, how am I going to... Wait, honor the Lord, right? And then secondly, trust him. The principle of trust. Are you going to trust God with your finances? Say, well, if I put this money in the offering, or I give to this or give to that, how am I going to meet my needs? Trust God. That's what he says. Trust me. Trust me. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Too often we want to, you know, figure it out in our own eyes. Well, this is what I think. This is what makes sense to me. Trust God. We want God to meet our needs, but sometimes we're not doing our part in giving. Early in my Christian life, I didn't understand the principle of tithing. I hadn't been taught it. But when I did, I began tithing, and God has always met our needs, always. Always met our needs. We give our tithes, and then we give to missions and to other projects over and above our tithe. But it can be a step of faith. It can be a step of faith. I know that. But we need to trust the Lord, don't we? Trust God. That's what he says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And going back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God says, prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. So there's faith there. Remember the story, the widow of Zarephath? And she was out collecting sticks, and Elijah came along, and God had said to him, I'm going to send you to this widow of Zarephath. You know, that was the same area where Jezebel came from, of Zidon, the wicked woman Jezebel, and God sends his prophet there, probably because he figured Jezebel would never look for him in her own home country, and that's where God sent him, to keep him safe and to be provided for after the brook dried up. You remember that? And she's out collecting sticks, and he meets her, and she says, oh, I'm basically making my last meal. My son and I are going to eat it and die. She said, a little bit of cruiser oil and a little bit of flour. I don't know if you've ever eaten anything that was made out of nothing but flour and oil. That'd be pretty bland, I would think. No salts or anything else in there, or cinnamon or baking powder or nothing to add a little. But that was all she had. But what did Elijah say to her? Make me thereof a little cake first. And it wasn't that Elijah was trying to be selfish. It was a test of her faith. Would she give to the man of God first? And of course she did that. And God blessed her and met her needs. And that little cruse of oil and that little bit of meal didn't fail. And they ate off that for a long, long time because she trusted God. The principle of trust is the second thing that we see there. Let's move on the next point and going back to Philippians now. Honor the Lord and trust him as concerns our giving. As we're thinking about that specifically this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 23, the last verse in the book, says this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace. The principle of grace. Now you can hold your place in Philippians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. I remember when Brother Thiessen was here for the missions conference, he preached on this passage and he said, you know, go through and underline how many times you see the word grace here in chapter 8 and 9. And it's repeated a number of times here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Grace. And then he goes on, if you look at verse 6, it says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He's speaking about grace. We know that grace is God's unmerited favor bestowed upon us, but it goes beyond that. It's also God's extending his goodwill to us and extending his grace to us, and grace sustains us and strengthens us, doesn't it? It's his extending his grace to us. We stand in God's grace. We stand in grace. That's a good thing to remember. We want to get critical of somebody else. Remember, you're standing in grace too. Do you think you stand before God by merit? No. You stand by grace. Just like everybody else has to stand by grace. We can't stand before God except by his grace. We'd be utterly cast aside from his sight. None of us stand before God in our merits. We stand before him in grace. The Bible says that. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans chapter 5. Grace strengthens us. Grace enables us to serve God. So the principle of grace as applies to giving is that God by his grace enables us to give. And that's what Paul is getting at in this passage in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He says, I want you to do you to wit. I want to point out to you the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Because of God's grace, they were able to give even though they were in poverty. Now, I don't know the dollar figure that they were able to give. That's not the point. But the point is that they were gave because by God's grace they were enabled to. Listen to these verses here. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul is speaking and says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He says, it really wasn't me, it was God's grace. That's the only way I was able to labor. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need God's grace to strengthen us and help us. Excuse me. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 says, "Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Let's have grace so that we can serve God. And it's by God's grace. And it's a wonderful thing when we get thinking about our giving and honoring God with our tithes and offerings, that it's His grace that enables us to do that. It's His grace that enables us to give, and then His grace that sustains us and supplies our needs. And we'll get to that in just a moment. God's grace enables us to give. God's grace strengthens us. God's grace is by God's grace that we are allowed to have a job and have an income so that we can give. It's not by our efforts in our own strength that we can give. It's by the grace of God working in us. And that's exciting. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, "He, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's by God's grace. On Wednesday night, we were talking about Nabal and the fool in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And David and his men had been around. Nabal was vastly rich. He had, I think his flock of sheep was 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. That must have smelled wonderful. Anyway, he had these huge flocks. And David and his men had been there around Nabal's men and basically had offered them protection. And the Philistines were always a threat. And David sent some of his young men and asked if they could have, you know, anything at thy hand. And it was the time of sheep shearing, which was a time when they would be generous and hospitable, and it was a time of celebration. Hey, we're shearing the sheep, and we can sell the wool and make money from that. And Nabal acts like everything's his. There's a verse in that chapter where he says, "Am I going to give my bread and my water and my meat that I've butchered for my men and give it to you, David, you no account?" He acted like it was all him, forgetting that who blessed him in the first place? God had. And that's what we have to remember, the principle of grace. God's grace enables us to be able to give. God's grace has allowed you to have a job and an income and money so that you can give to others. Let's go back in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Look at another couple of principles here. The principle of care. Care. Philippians 4:10, Paul said in this passage, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." And the word careful means having care. It's not, oh, be careful so you don't trip, or be careful that you don't hurt yourself, and that's not what it means. It's having care. The principle of care. Do you care? Do you care? There's needs all around us, isn't there? We can't meet them all. But may God direct us in our giving. May God direct us and give us a greater care for others, a greater care for the needs of His work, that we might have a care and a compassion. There's missionaries on the mission field that have needs, isn't there? They've got needs. They're trying to reach people, and they're wherever God has put them. They've got needs that need to be personal needs. They've got ministry needs. They've got things they need to buy, whether it's materials to distribute or whatever. Brother Burns has an airplane which enables him to fly into different regions there in northern Quebec. But that plane costs money to upkeep it, maintain it, to put the fuel in it, to have it a place where you can store it. There's great needs, isn't there? The Bible warns us about shutting up our bowels of compassion in 1 John chapter 3. We're warned about that. But maybe the principle of care, I see that in this passage. Moving on, the principle of sacrifice. Of sacrifice. Let's look at verse 18, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. "But I have all and abound, I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. When we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we saw that the churches of Macedonia were not wealthy. And Macedonia, Philippi was, as you know, was part of Macedonia. And Paul says, in the abundance of their deep poverty. Philippians chapter, I'm sure the Philippian jailer didn't make a huge salary. You know, he was keeping a jail. But they were out of their sacrifice. And Paul calls what they gave a sacrifice, and perhaps it truly was a sacrifice for them. Sacrificial giving. We owe God our tithes. That's just base level. We ought to give to other things, missions, special projects, things like that. When we've had mortgage offerings that we've taken up, or if we have other special projects we're giving to. But sometimes God leads us also to give sacrificially, doesn't he? Above and beyond, meaning that we may have to go without something so we can give to his work. And there's times that we ought to be willing to do that, and ought to consider that and understand that that's a part of it. In the Old Testament, they offered offerings, and they were called what? Sacrifices. And not all offerings were sin offerings. Sometimes they would offer a peace offering or a consecration offering. It was a symbol of consecration. And you think about that. That animal represented their wealth. I did a little bit of research, and I thought, what's a sheep cost in today's dollar, or a young cattle beast, a bullock? And from what I could find, a lamb or a young sheep would be anywhere from $100 to $200. A young cattle beast can be up to about $2,000. So you imagine you offer that cattle beast, there's $2,000 I just put on the altar, burned, as a sacrifice to God. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? They give that, and they always offered males. As a good, strong, healthy bull that's good breeding stock can be several thousand dollars worth in today's money. And back then, you know, that's how they measured their wealth, was the size of their flocks and herds. So there's that principle of sacrifice. What's wrong with us sacrificing sometimes for the Lord? It's very humbling when people give sacrificially. When you know that they've given their best, isn't that humbling? Maybe you've been in a case like that where someone have you over for a meal and you know that they don't have a lot of money, and they put a spread on before you, and like, oh my goodness, you know it was a sacrifice. That's a humbling thing, isn't it? One of our families, they're not here today. They were up at the youth conference every night, and one night I had slipped out in between services to use the restroom, and I come back in, and I glanced over. They were sitting at the back, and they had their checkbook out, and they were writing a check to put something in the offering plate. And I wouldn't say this if they were here this morning, because I know they'd be embarrassed. And yesterday, they gave us a bunch of money to buy pizza for all the teenagers for lunch. And I know that family doesn't have a lot of money. I know they don't make a big income. And they gave sacrificially. And today they're going to pick up their son from college, and they're driving all the way down and back in one day because the hotels to where they have to go are too expensive. Well, the money that they gave for pizza, the money they put in the offering, the money they spent on gas to go to the conference could have gone for a hotel room, but they used it instead for these other things because that was important to them. They sacrificed, and that's a blessing. You know, think about that. And I just use them as an example. I know there's other folks here in our church who've sacrificed. And that, God looks at that as an offering, an odor of a sweet smell, acceptable, well-pleasing unto him. The principle of sacrifice. And lastly, I've got a couple more here and we'll be done. The principle of sowing and reaping. We're all familiar with that. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 17. Paul says, not because I desire a gift. He's commending them for what they had given. And he says, it's not because I desire a gift, but it's because I desire fruit. that may abound to your account. To your account. 2 Corinthians 9:6 talks about that if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. And that's in the same passage talking about giving. Our giving should be seen as an investment. It's an investment in eternity. I heard Pastor Brett, a panel up in Heritage, some time back, had a man that come in and preach, and he talked about a thing about finances. And that was one of the points that this gentleman made. He said, you know, we ought to have investments on this earth, but we also ought to have investments in heaven. We ought to be laying up investments there. And Jesus told us that, didn't he? He said, lay up treasures in heaven. And our giving is an investment in eternity. It's the law of sowing and reaping. We sow, and it's not just giving money. There's other things that we can give. Our time and our talents, our giving of our strength, our treasures, the principle of sowing and reaping. And lastly, the principle, or I should say the promise of supply. Philippians 4:19. This is a verse that gets taken out of context a lot, like Philippians 4:13 does. Philippians 4:13, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm quoting the wrong verse. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Some people take that out of context, like you can be some kind of a Superman or something. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about contentment. And here in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, keep it in the context. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to a church that was giving. A church that was giving. The principle or the promise of supply. God is going to take care of you, isn't he? You don't have to worry that you won't have enough. Going back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, where it says there, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. And we know in the Old Testament, God specifically promised Israel with material blessings. Here in the New Testament, he promises he's going to meet our needs, but he also promises us with spiritual blessings. And when we give, God will supply in other ways. We may see blessings in other manners, but he's going to look after us. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Let's look there, and it'll be our final verse. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You can't outgive God. That's basically the principle or the truth that comes out of that verse. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. It's impossible to outgive God, isn't it? Absolutely impossible. You can't do it. God gave his only begotten Son. You cannot outgive that. Another place in the Bible says, thanks for his unspeakable gift. Thank God for that unspeakable gift. God's going to take care of us, the principle of God's supply. I think those of us here this morning, we know these truths. We've got them down. But I just want to encourage you, as we give sacrificially, we're honoring the Lord. That's how God sees it. We're honoring him. We need to trust him to take care of us. We need to be willing to give at times sacrificially as he leads us, not under arm twisting or something like that. You hear about people, some of these television evangelists come through and people taking off their gold watches and throwing them in the offering plate, and the guy walks away with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars after a 2 or 3 day grace crusade, and all he's doing is lining his own pockets. I'm not talking about that. I understand that. But there's times that God will lead us to give to a legitimate work of his and to give sacrificially towards it, to sacrifice for him. But the blessed promises that he will supply, amen, he will meet our needs because he promises to. And we will reap what we sow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths we have seen on giving today. And Father, it starts with us honoring you. Help us to honor you, Lord, in our lives, not just in this area of giving, but in every area. Our Bible reading, our prayer life, our church attendance, our service for you, our speech, our actions, our thoughts, in our hearts. May we seek to honor you, Lord, and trust you. And by your grace, Lord, we pray you'd strengthen us and enable us to continue to give and to even give more. I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts at this time by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name.